Home Affordable Modification Program has to date been a failure.
We've just sent them copious amounts of information. They kept losing all of those.
I didn't understand all the ramifications from going into a modification.
We are waiting for someone to come and serve us with foreclosure notice.
How much longer are they going to do this with me?
Tragic, terrible mess, and we are not coming to the end of that amount of pain and risk and trauma.
Hello, and welcome to Great Speeches and Interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. Today's program starts out with, was Edward Snowden justified? Two teams face off on the motion Snowden was justified in his release of highly classified national security documents. The debate is an Oxford-style debate for Intelligence Squared US. The team that sways most people by the end of the debate is declared the winner. Against the motion are two people, Andrew C. McCarthy, a contributing editor at the National Review and a senior fellow at the National Review Institute. He is also a former top federal prosecutor. And also against the motion is Ambassador R. James Woolsey, a former director of the Central Intelligence Agency. He also chairs the board of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and is a venture partner with Lux Capital Management. And for the motion, Daniel Ellsberg, who is a former U.S. military analyst who in 1971 leaked the Pentagon Papers, which revealed how the U.S. public had been misled about the Vietnam War. And also for the motion is Ben Weisner, a legal advisor to Edward Snowden, who also directs the ACLU's Speech, Privacy, and Technology Project, which is dedicated to protecting and expanding the freedoms of expression, association, and inquiry. And then, after that, a secret meeting and the birth of the Fed. The story includes a 70-year-old man with a bad head cold and a bunch of mistresses and a nation that's deeply ambivalent about a central bank and a secret meeting on an island with a sketchy name.
Yes or no to this statement? Snowden was justified. A debate from Intelligence Squared US. I'm John Donvan. We're here at the Kaufman Music Center in New York City. We have four superbly qualified debaters who will argue for and against this motion. Snowden was justified. As always, our debate will go in three rounds, and then our live audience votes to choose the winner, and only one side wins. And let's meet one of the first debaters here to argue in support of this motion. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ben Weisner. And Ben, you are the director of the ACLU Speech Privacy Technology Project. You are also personally a legal advisor to Edward Snowden. And Ben, we understand the two of you are in regular contact. Not long ago, you were in Russia visiting him. And so just out of curiosity, is he watching this debate tonight?
Well, you know, there's a nine-hour time difference, but he's a night owl. So I would put the chances at about 50-50.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Weisner. Thank you. And Ben, would you introduce your partner?
I am joined tonight by a genuine American hero, Pentagon Papers whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Ellsberg. Daniel Ellsberg, you were once called the most dangerous man in America by Henry Kissinger. And in 1971, you leaked the Pentagon Papers, 7,000-page top-secret study that detailed government secrecy and deception during the Vietnam War. Newspapers published it. It came out as a book. But the papers themselves were only officially declassified and released by the federal government in 2011, 40 years after the fact. What do you make of that, Daniel Ellsberg?
Well, it's a pretty good demonstration of the absurdity of the classification system. Probably 98% of what is now classified, and we're talking about billions of pages here, that is more than 2 or 3 years old should not still bear classification since, or let's say 5 years old.
So we're getting a little bit of a look ahead at what your arguments are going to be. Ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Ellsberg, our motion is this: Snowden was justified. And here to argue against the motion, we have two debaters. First, please, let's welcome Andrew McCarthy. And Andrew, you are a former chief assistant U.S. attorney who led the prosecution against the blind sheikh, Omar Abdulrahman, and 11 others for the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. This is your second time, actually, debating with us. The first time was almost 7 years ago. The motion that night was better, more domestic surveillance than another 9/11. And maybe we don't have to ask, but what side were you on?
Believe it or not, I was on the better, more surveillance side. And so,
how'd you do?
Well, I had a great time.
I'm not going to push on that one. Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew McCarthy. And Andrew, your debating partner is?
A great American patriot, the former CIA director, Jim Woolsey.
Ladies and gentlemen, James Woolsey. James, you are also arguing against this motion, Snowden was justified. You were CIA director from 1993 to 1995. You served on 5 different occasions under both Republican and Democratic administrations. Your life post-government has included working on security and alternative energy issues. But here is an interesting thing that we dug up 2 years ago. In a theatrical workshop, you actually played a CIA director. What was the name of the CIA director you played?
Heinous Overreach.
which tells us, if nothing else, you have a sense of humor. Thank you, James Woolsey. So on to round one. Round one, opening statements by each debater speaking in turn, uninterrupted. Our motion is this: Snowden was justified. And here to speak first in support of this motion, Ben Weisner. He is legal advisor to Edward Snowden, and he is the director of the American Civil Liberties Union Speech, Privacy, and Technology Project. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ben Weisner.
On June 7th of last year, following the publication of the first NSA stories in the Washington Post and the Guardian, but before Edward Snowden had revealed his identity to us, President Obama addressed the revelations, and he said, "I welcome this debate, and I think it is healthy for our democracy." The president was right. This debate has been healthy for our democracy and for democracies around the world. A debate about the threat that mass surveillance poses to free societies, about how surveillance technologies have outpaced democratic controls, about whether the internet will be an instrument of democratic liberation or authoritarian control, that provides the best answer to tonight's debate. Edward Snowden is justified because he provided to journalists and through them to us information that we had a right to know and that we had a need to know. The government had not just concealed this information, it had lied to us about it. Now, in those same June 7th remarks, President Obama also defended the government's surveillance practices. He said that those practices had been blessed and approved by all three branches of government. Now, in making that point, President Obama probably would have said that he was joining our opponent's table. I would respectfully submit that exactly the opposite is true. I say it because the same oversight bodies that had blessed these activities in the dark have dramatically challenged them and changed course in the light. Now all three branches of government are engaged in a historic reevaluation of the NSA's surveillance practices. Let's begin with Congress. When The Guardian revealed that the NSA had been collecting the phone records of every American on a daily basis, many members of Congress expressed shock, even though that program was purportedly authorized by Section 215 of the Patriot Act. Now, there's been a lot of debate since then about whether Congress did or did not know, or what they knew or did not know. But does it really matter? Either way, this was a colossal failure of oversight. Now, what about our courts? The court that had blessed the NSA's mass surveillance of Americans is a specialized court that meets in secret and hears only from the government. Over the last decade, it expanded its role to rule on the legality and constitutionality of programmatic surveillance. Now, when groups like the ACLU tried to challenge the NSA's activities in open federal courts, an interesting thing happened. The government didn't say to those courts that the programs were illegal. The government said that we had no right to be in court. The government's argument was we couldn't prove that we had been surveilled, therefore we had no standing to even raise these challenges. Now, what's happened since Edward Snowden's act of conscience? Well, two federal judges have now considered whether the NSA's mass collection of Americans' phone data is legal. One said it's almost certainly unconstitutional, almost Orwellian. Another disagreed, but the key point is that both of these judges heard the challenge. They both agreed that we had standing to challenge the program, which was a remarkable development in itself. Even the executive branch has undergone an extraordinary reevaluation of these programs. An NSA review panel appointed by the president, which included very, very senior former intelligence officials, the number two at the CIA, concluded that the NSA had allowed its technological capabilities to dictate its surveillance practices rather than ensuring that its practices conform to our laws and values. None of this would have happened without Edward Snowden. For that reason alone, he was justified.
Thank you, Ben Wisner. And that's our motion. Snowden was justified. And now here to speak against this motion, I'd like to bring to the lectern James Woolsey. He is chairman of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and a former director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome James Woolsey.
A couple of introductory points. Once you release material that had been classified or restricted for any other contractual or any other reason, you release it to the world. Mr. Snowden pledged to protect the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic, but he didn't do that. What he did was steal and release material that went to, among others, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Pyongyang, Tehran, and so on. What are the consequences of this, of dealing with international relations in this way? China is the bad boy of cyber attacks. Throughout the world, Chinese cyber attacks, theft of information and material, malware, on, are a nuisance at best and a potential tragedy at worst to a huge range of countries and individuals. We had figured out a way, pre-Snowden, to create a possibility whereby we could take their malware and send it back to them after making some adjustments and create problems for them rather than they creating problems for us. It's a clever operation. Mr. Snowden, of course, ended it by explicitly turning loose material that dealt with it precisely. We have an organization in the Middle East, the Islamic State of Iraq, a terrorist organization of the worst kind. Pre-Snowden, we were reading not only their emails, but their preparation, their early stage drafts of emails. Had we been reading fully the emails of Al-Qaeda before 9/11, we might well have saved thousands of lives. But here, our ability to read ISI's emails has been obliterated by having been made public to the terrorist group itself. In Latin America, we have come to find how to penetrate the communication networks of some of the worst organizations and groups that are selling women into sexual slavery. We had a very good handle on how that was being done, and that human trafficking network, and our knowledge of their capabilities is, of course, now gone, with Snowden having released that to those who are enslaving women in that part of the world.
James Woolsey, I'm sorry your time is up.
Thank you
very much.
Hi, I'm Steve Lerman. I'm the guy that produces, edits, narrates, and promotes great speeches and interviews. I'm the guy responsible for airing in-depth interviews, speeches, and even debates on controversial subjects such as war and peace and climate change and the economy. I hope you like listening to it as much as I like producing it. Access Sacramento broadcasts it on the internet every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. And you can find the podcast at greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com as well as at Facebook.
In 48, they were driven out at the point of a machine gun. Families fled in fear to Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. They fled around the globe, firmly held in terror's grip. And about a million refugees ended up in the Gaza Strip. In 1967, the IDF moved in, and the refugees in Gaza became refugees again. Settlers took their farmland, soldiers took the ports, and the people were surrounded by military forts. In 2007, they cut them off completely. No access to the borders, no access to the sea. The world began to see this unavoidable stamp. The most crowded place on earth was now a concentration camp. Israeli jet fighters bombed Gaza from the air, and they kept out the supplies needed to rebuild and repair. They kept out the convoys of humanitarian aid, anemic children going hungry, crushed and burned in bombing raids from around the world. Good people tried to get across the border to the other side. Almost all of them were turned away, deported back to Turkey, Jordan, France, the USA. They were barred from ever coming back. Adam and Huwaita decided on a different tack. They loaded up a boat, managed to get through. That's when activists in Istanbul decided what to do. Armed with food and wheelchairs and prosthetic limbs for victims of the bombing raids to wear, they packed cement by the ton. They had a few kitchen knives, but not a single gun. They were determined to reach the bay, to break the siege of Gaza and not be turned away. As they left Turkish waters, everybody wished them well. As for what would happen next, only the apartheid state could tell. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, sailing toward Goliath's kingdom, armed with nothing but a stone. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, tell the children of Jerusalem, you are not alone. 700 people on board this Turkish ferry, they were 60 miles from the shore, out in the open sea, in international waters, with no plans for turning back. That's when Netanyahu told his soldiers to attack. They came down from helicopters, fired guns from Zodiacs. They shot some people in their heads and others in their backs. The captain raised a white flag high into the air, but the soldiers kept on shooting beneath the floodlights glare. The soldiers kept on shooting. It was a free fire zone. So many dead and wounded, just how many isn't known. So many dead and wounded, blood flowing on the floor. The soldiers kept on shooting 60 miles from the shore. Medics tried to treat the wounded. All they could do was watch them bleed. The soldiers wouldn't let them get the urgent help they needed. Mass troopers held their hostages. The Navy towed the ship just for trying to sail to the Gaza Strip. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, sailing toward Goliath's kingdom, armed with nothing but a stone. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, tell the children of Jerusalem, you are not alone. Every laptop, every camera and cell phone. This is what Goliath does to those who dare to throw a stone. The ghost of the Exodus is shouting at the sky, but Netanyahu isn't listening. He's just watching people die. For days nobody knew just what happened on that boat, because everyone was held in jail and dead men do not float. All the world will remember what happened on that night, and to end the siege of Gaza, more will go and join the fight. All aboard the Rachel Corrie, sailing toward Goliath's kingdom, armed with nothing but a stone. All aboard the Rachel Corrie, tell the children of Jerusalem, you are not alone. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, sailing toward Goliath's kingdom, armed with nothing but a stone. All aboard the Mavi Marmara, tell the children of Jerusalem, you are not alone.
And now, back to the debate. Was Snowden justified?
I'm John Donvan, and this is Intelligence Squared US, Oxford-style debating on American shores. Stay with us. Hello, I'm John Donvan, moderator of Intelligence Squared US. Join us online at iq2us.org to vote on the motion and keep the debate going. And a reminder of what's going on, we are halfway through the opening round of this Intelligence Squared U.S. debate. I'm John Donvan. We have four debaters, two teams of two, fighting it out over this motion, Snowden was justified. You've heard the first two opening statements, and now on to the third. Debating for the motion, Snowden was justified, Daniel Ellsberg, a former U.S. military analyst and the Pentagon's paper, Whistleblowers. Ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Ellsberg.
Thank you very much. Yes, I believe that Edward Snowden was fully justified in what he did. I think that he was justified to the same degree and in the same way that I believe I was justified in releasing 4,000 or 7,000 pages of top secret documents 40 years ago, the Pentagon Papers. I believe that I had been mistaken earlier to keep silent about what I knew to be lies by my president, Lyndon Johnson, and later the president, Richard Nixon, for whom I'd also worked, about what they were doing, what was happening, what the costs were, what the prospects were in Vietnam. I was concerned at that moment, not so much about the Constitution, which had clearly been violated, but I was concerned at the people who were dying on both sides, wrongly, I thought, by our escalations and by those lies. I'm saying that Snowden, I believe, did what needed to be done, what the public needed to know. I think there was no other way, no better way, and almost no other way for that information to get out, that it was worth, as he said, taking the utmost risks to his freedom and even his life. I believe firmly that Edward Snowden is no more a traitor than I am, or that I was, and I'm not. I was called every name that has been called virtually to Edward Snowden, or for that matter to Chelsea Manning earlier. In terms of blood on hands, as to what would be the cost of this, none of that came out in my case, which is, I think, why I'm seen somewhat differently now, 40 years later. Nothing in Chelsea Manning's trial actually came out to justify the statement that people had died as a result of his revelations. And I think you should take with more than a grain of salt the descriptions right now that much worse will happen from Edward Snowden revelations. As a matter of fact, Ambassador Woolsey has said that he thought there should be due process, there should be a trial for treason. That's something I'd argue with. But he believes then as a result he should get the maximum penalty for that, which is to be hanged by the neck till he is dead. Now, actually, one American was hanged by the neck for giving secrets to Americans. He was the first American to be charged with giving secrets to Americans. I was the second. His name was Nathan Hale. And it was a name that used to be known to every American schoolchild, and I've found, sadly, that that's not seems not to be the case today. And he was an American spy for George Washington during the American Revolution, hanged by the British, and the reason he was remembered during my growing up was for his words on the gallows. I regret that I have but one life to give for my country. What country was that? Not the country of his birth. That was a colony of King George III, in which he was in rebellion and was charged with treason, essentially, of which he was essentially guilty to George III. Like every other signer of the Declaration of Independence, five of whom, out of 56, were hanged. But they'd pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, like Nathan Hale, to a country that did not yet exist. A country of later to be, shortly to be, of a constitution with separation of powers, independent branches with checks and balances against each other, and a country with a Bill of Rights. When Snowden said there were things worth dying for, I agreed with him. That's the mood in which I gave the Pentagon Papers, and I think he was right to do what he did to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States.
Thank you, Daniel Ellsberg.
And now for something completely different.